was kind of finishing up the kind of what I'm considering the first portion of kind of an overall overview of what the Scripture says about the Holy Spirit. And so we covered a lot of things, and tonight I'll maybe just do some, we'll finish these couple slides maybe, maybe I could do a sort of a recap of, you know, where we're going next. So I don't think it's maybe six or seven slides, I'll talk about some other things and start talking about what we'll consider the power of the Holy Spirit, the power and why do we need that power? You know, and there's some key things about the power of the Holy Spirit that probably answer a lot of people's question. And I'm almost wanting just to go right into that, but I don't want to leave these few slides just kind of hanging there. You haven't seen these yet, so I want to give them to you. Real quickly, we'll go through that and I'll cover, because when I'm going to talk about that, I don't have any slides for what I'll talk about, but I'm going to give you all the scripture verses for you to pull them up. So we'll take our time. I want you to look at them for yourself in the scripture. And as we start to step into the power of the Holy Spirit and why has God given us that power, what's the purpose of it? Why do we need it? Why do we have some people speak against the power of the Holy Spirit? Why do some people say it's not for today? And of course, we covered the fact of what the Holy Spirit's not. And I can cover. I will touch on that again. And this is pretty much the subject that we was on. And I mentioned the Holy Spirit is left out of key passages. The Holy Spirit is left out of key passages. Jesus confirmed the time-honored creed of the Jewish people when he declared, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." And that's Mark 12, 28 and 29. So he mentions that when he's asked the question, what's the greatest commandment? Where is the Holy Spirit in this creedal statement? Because he gives a creedal statement here, which is a creed. This is the creed of the Jews. That's what they follow. A creed is something that you can say in a very short few sentences that gives a summation of an overall view of what you stand for. It's called a creed. And so here, this is the Jewish creed. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. So we don't see that mentioned there. Why didn't Jesus add the Holy Spirit in when he quoted it? There's a reason. Because he didn't have to add it separate. It's an inclusion because he's talking about who? He's talking about God. And the Holy Spirit is God's operational presence. So he didn't have to include it. Now, if it would have been something distinct from the Father, then it would have been mentioned. So this was, again, a point that was made. When Jesus walked on this earth, he had an incredible oneness with the Father. John 10:30. He lived in a state of perpetual communion, always doing the works. Always. So he was in a perpetual communion. Now, our communion, it sounds, you know, we turn things on and turn things off. We here or there. That's how kind of our mind operates. And it's because we don't understand the teaching that the Holy Spirit's there for. And it's so hard for me to just go on my other subjects. I'm trying to keep it so I can finish these slides. But again, it's all interconnected. It's all related. It's hard to speak about one, not the other, because there's such an interconnection on the power of the Holy Spirit and its reasoning in our life. And it just links to this particular statement here. He lived in a state of perpetual communion. Now, he did that because of the Holy Spirit. And he was guided by the Holy Spirit continually. There was not a single moment or day in his life where he didn't allow the Holy Spirit to be the guide or the leader, to direct him, to show him what to do, when to do it, when to say it, when not to say it. That's how Jesus lived. So he was in a perpetual communion. And wow, how incredible that would be in our lives if we learned that. Right? If we can be in a perpetual communion. How many would admit that since you came to know Christ, that means you've understood that Jesus Christ was or is the Messiah. There is not another one that you're looking for. You believe that in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of God. He died, he rose again, and you trust in that by faith. How many remember when that happened in your life? And you're not looking for anything else, so you know that. All right, since that point, how many, without showing your hand, but just think about this, how many think that was a time in your life that you sinned? Since then. From that moment, there was a time that you made a mistake or sin or whatever you want to call it. And you think that's maybe happened to us? You ever wondered why? Think about that. So there was. Let me tell you why. For a moment, however brief or long that moment is, there was a lapse or a missing part of the Holy Spirit being in the forefront, and we stepped in. We took that position. The moment we did, we're on our own. So we're going to, naturally, we're going to have to handle up whatever's in front of us in a natural way. No spiritual guidance. And so the enemy knows, he's been doing it since the garden. He's got power. He's got ways to play words. And that's what gets people, is the way he plays words and the power and authority he uses against you. And somebody said, well, he ain't got no power. He's got power. Because Jesus is seated above all that power. Because he talks about it as power. When he talks about authorities and principalities and rulers, all them words, that represents power. If you're ruler, you're ruling that sphere, that domain. So to say, don't say Satan got no power in all his cohort. They got power. They don't have more power than the Holy Spirit's power. You see, but the moment I step out and he's on the side or behind me, I'm have to handle up what I got. And how many can honestly say when that's happened, that's when you was drilled and you was knocked down quick. And what do you go back to? You go right back and you stay behind the shield of faith. And then we get all that through Holy Spirit. That's why he said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the enemy, the evil times that we're in. And that's what we do. So we learn to do that. Now, how many know that even though we have those scriptures in Ephesians about the whole armor of God, that we're able, you don't even know how to put it on. You have no idea how these things work. You have no understanding of the defense that it creates and the offense, the word. You have no concept to use any of them without the Holy Spirit. None whatsoever. We can know about them. They could be good lessons, and people can tell us, and we can hear great messages about them. The point can be proven. How can we have two people sit in the same service, hear the same message, and one be blessed and the other one cursed? How is that possible? It all has to do with what we allow to happen in our life once we've come to know the truth. Are we willing to humble ourselves to the Holy Spirit's guide, which is the operational presence of the Most High God? Let's not forget that. And say, I want you to direct me. The one who doesn't let God direct is the one that's going to be in trouble. Happens every time. Every single time. So there's no exceptions with, well, maybe it won't happen this time. It will happen. And so keep that in mind. And of course, I'll touch on some of these things. John 8:29, John 10:25, verse 32, verse 37, 14:10, 17:4. Every one of those verses are key key verses, yet the Holy Spirit has not mentioned them. And so, these, again, it's important to understand. I tell you, we'll not only leave it up there for a while, we're going to go to some of them. I don't have slides for those, but we'll get our Bibles, and let's turn to John 8:29. We can cover these fairly quick because of the close proximity of each one of them as we read. So let's look at it together. John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 29, let's look at it. And it says, "And he who was sent, and he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." Now, every one of these statements, it's the conversation, and he's making a reference to himself. Who's the speaker? Jesus. And he's speaking of someone else. Who is that? He's speaking of the Father. So if I say he speaks of the Father, now, if I say that he's speaking of the Father, is that God's name? No, it's not his name. You see, I'm a father. So I'm the father of Philip and Hannah. So they might say, well, that's my father. Okay? Now, the word father, when we make that address, and keep this in mind because it's important. I see a lot of times people will get these ideas about how do we know something, is it a person or not? Well, if I'm saying, if I address the father is what I am, but Jesse is my name, right? So you would say, well, that's Jesse. Then my children know me as, they know that that's my name, but I'm their what? I'm their father. But when it comes to Holy Spirit, that never happens. Now, if I say that, if I talk about Messiah, if I talk about Messiah, that God, the Father God, is Yahweh. The Messiah is Yeshua, HaMashiach, that's how I would say in Hebrew. Or it would be Jesus, or Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. Okay? Christ would be the Greek equivalent of saying that's the anointed one, not his last name. And there's people who think that, you know, Mary and Joseph Christ had a baby named Jesus Christ. Y'all didn't get that. Did y'all? There's people who think that Mary and Joseph Christ had a baby named Jesus Christ. It's not his last name. Christ is just means the anointed one. So it's what he is, but his name is what? Jesus. So how many's following this so far? Okay, now Holy Spirit. What's his name? Has anybody found it? You see my point? It's a essence, it's a presence, it's an operation of the Most High God. It's God connecting to us. It's how he communicates with us. By the Holy Spirit. We can't do it without the Holy Spirit. So if people say, well, I can do it without the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, you cannot. You cannot do it without being led, because how in the world can you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might and your strength as a standalone? We already admit it, that the moment we step out in front, what happens? We get very susceptible to our old nature. Right? So there was a brief moment that Eve stepped into a doubt about who God is. Isn't that amazing? The one little time, she just, because he said, well, you know, he puts a doubt there that God really never meant what he said. Now, everything else in her entire life, she was going off of, God said it, it's it. It's done. He said it. But for a brief moment, a little doubt, what happens when that happens? You sin. What does the Holy Spirit do? Keeps us from stepping into that natural realm again, and we're led by the Spirit of God. You see? Very important. And that's why the enemy wants to, not only does he want to keep it from most people in the church world, large percentage preach against it, but the ones who do preach about it, it's been taken off into some other spirit realm. So you look at both of them, and we leave from the very principles of the Word of God. That's why the teaching is so critical. So you know what realm, you know what the parameters in which to stay in. It's very important. And so we see Jesus speaking here. He who sent me is with me. Let me ask this question. I think it's an important question. If you're with somebody, can you be the somebody you're with? How many think that's a legitimate question? Huh? All right, scoot over, Ethan. Now, we're going to say that Ethan is with Josh. Can he be Josh? That don't make him Josh. Right? So Jesus says, he who sent me is with me. Just because you're with somebody, you don't become that person. You're just with them. You're not the person you're with. So it's a great question. Now, you read these little things and you wonder about it. But I don't know what goes on in the mind. But sometimes we have to be careful to not let Satan come in and give doubt to the very word God has spoken. Chapter 10. Verse 25. And Jesus answered. Again, Jesus is speaking. Well, he's talking about something. Let's start with verse 22. And at that time, the feast of dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter. And Jesus was walking in the temple. In the part, he's right on the porches or the outlay of Solomon. And the Jews then gathered around him and were saying to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? Watch this. If you are the Christ. Now, we have it in Greek translated, but what did they really, what was the real statement? If you are Mashiach, that's how they would have said it. We translate it would be, if you are Messiah, because who they're waiting for? They're waiting for Messiah. If you are the Christ or Messiah, tell us plainly. This is Jesus being questioned by those at the Feast of Dedication. Jesus answered them, I told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these testify of me. Notice that. He said, the works that I do, how is he doing? In my Father's name. Does God have a name? Right? So when we talk about God or the Father, we know as a believer, Father and God, it's the same as we see it, as we understand it. But then he said, he didn't. So if he says, I do these things in my Father's name, does he mean Father is his name? No, we dealt with that earlier, right? Father is what he is to Jesus, right? And to us as believers, once we're believers. Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this, our Father. Inclusion, right? We include it. So he's Father to us too. But he says, I do what I do in my Father's name. So they were familiar when it comes to names. They were very familiar, the Jews especially. So did the Jews have a clear understanding about Yeshua? being Jesus. They had a clear understanding of that. We see it as Jesus, right? What about, do you think maybe they had a clear understanding about Yahweh? Sure they did. So what Jesus was doing, he said, what I'm doing is what the Father sent me to do. And who's your Father? Who's your Father? Well, he's Yahweh. And so they understood that. Well, of course, they wanted to stone him for it. Because obviously, I'm not sure what answer they wanted, but whatever he gave them, they didn't want to hear it. And so he goes on and says, but you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice and know them, and I know them, and they follow me. Meaning, they haven't decided. You're not of my sheep. In other words, you haven't made a decision to follow me yet. The moment you do, things are going to change. So what did they have to accept him as? They had to accept him as Messiah, the Christ. You're the Messiah. So they're asking him that question. So that's the first, because they know the moment we know that you're the Christ, we're on board, right? He said, but yet I tell you and you don't believe me. And it's not just happened then. This still happens today. You ever wondered why? What do people, you ever had this question? I have it all the time. You ever wondered, what do people want? What does people really want? You know, there's got to be a reason somebody gets dressed and comes to church that's never been to church. I've never seen them, right? Okay, so they're looking for something, right? How many of you ever went to a place to eat when you was traveling? Maybe you went to town or whatever, you traveled. How many of you ever pulled in a place to eat? Anybody here? Yes. You pull in a place. All right, you know the reason you pulled in. And the people who's never saw, they never seen you a day in their life. Yep, you sit it. They get, how many, sir? And you say, well, two or three or whoever. How many got in your party? And they'll take you to a table. Now, they're not in the back going, I wonder what they're here for. It's just blowing my mind right now. I have no idea. No, there is a restaurant, right? You know what you're there for, but they're not in the back wondering, should I go out? Should I ask them if they want tea? Should I take them? I don't know what they're here for. Yet, I feel that way. You know, I'm like, okay. To me, if you come to church, you come for something, right? Yet, I say, you want tea? No, I don't want the tea. You want to get saved? Nah. Yo, it's crazy, ain't it? So you wonder about that. What are you doing then? You know, the lady comes to the table and says, well, can I get y'all something? We don't want nothing to eat. She's going to go, okay, got a group. She hits the button, got a group on table 7. Table 7, put all the cameras on table 7. There, we don't know what's going on. Because it's absolutely crazy. Ain't no reason to stop whatever you're doing and go to a place that you're going to eat. And that's what they do. They serve food. And that's your intention. So what you got to grab hold of something. But that's what we do. We're trying to make it. We want to make it just appeal to everybody. So if you don't want anything, just come hang out. This is not a hangout place. This is for who wants to be serious with God. You come to learn something. You come to grow in God. You know, the menu's there. The menu. Order up. Get you something. I hope this is helping somebody. This is just stuff I think about in my spare time. He says this, my Father who has given them to me, well, let's go to verse 28. I give, and we read verse 27, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. He said, I give eternal life to them and they will never perish and no one will snatch them out of my hands. Well, that was it. When he says, I give eternal life, what? This only God can do that. Well, not only do they say that, believe that, but there's a lot of people around the world today saying, there you go. He would have never said it if he was not God. Right? My question to a lot of people is, why wouldn't he said it? It's perfectly logical to me. Yes, can anybody go to the Father who's the one who started eternal life by design from the very beginning with the crucifixion in mind. The Bible says Christ was crucified before the foundations of the world. So do I really believe that he was suspended out in the universe on a cross, just waiting so the cross can be taken from that and put on the planet? But in the plan of God, he was. So who's the only one can bring you to the Father? So who's the only road to eternal life? So he's perfectly within his means to say that, right? To me, it is. It's looking at, from just looking at Scripture. He said, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hands. How many see that? There's a reason Jesus is saying that. So no one is able to snatch him out of the Father's hand. What's the intention of the Father? And we'll learn something here in just a moment. Look at it. Verse 30. I and the Father are one. Notice that. I and the Father are one. Does he mean that they're the same person? If I said that they're the same person, that would even be against what Trinitarians believe. Because the Trinitarians don't believe they're the same person. They believe that there's distinct persons. But oneness believers believe that there's just one. So they believe there's one God, but that one God has three modes that he operates, never all of them at the same time. So that's called a modalist or type Trinitarian, but different from the traditional ones. And I may have touched on that in one of our teachings, but keep that in mind. So what does he want? He said, I and my Father are one. What does he mean there when he says they're one? One in purpose. One in purpose. I'm not fighting against the Father, and he's not. We're flowing one in purpose. I understand perfectly what the Father wants because he's being led how? How is Jesus being led right now at this particular time? By the Spirit. The power, the operational presence of God is leading him. He basically, what happens is, how many's ever been broke down? Anybody's ever been broke down? How many's had been broke down and somebody come to get you? Okay? And how many, when they come to get you, they didn't just get you, but they got the boat and everything, they towed you with a rope. All right? Now, would it be senseless for once they hooked on to you, start towing you in it, you're back there with a paddle going the other way, saying, stop! No, you wouldn't do that. That's crazy, right? That's absolutely, we laugh at that kind of stuff. That's crazy. What do? You relinquish your authority as the operator, boat owner, everything, and you're so glad they come and got you, especially if the weather's not good, right? You're happy. And you're fine with that. And you might be on the boat with them saying, man, I'm glad you come. I remember I was not broke down, but I was high and dry. How many know I've been high and dry before? High and dry. Well, I mean, my dog looked at me and went, are you serious? So I put the blind up and we got in the shade and I'm talking to her and I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. I mean, when I say high and dry, I was way up there. There was no way. There was no tide coming in to get me. I was there. So I called my dad, and he called my uncle, and then I'm trying to tell him where I'm in the marsh. I mean, I'm way back there. Wherever that mud boat will get you, well, it got me farther than I wanted to go. And so my dad and them pull up, and I'm videoing. You know, I figured, hey, it's a laughing moment. Let's video it. You know, so I can hear them coming in the canal. Here comes the little flat boat. And as soon as my Uncle Nate, my daddy, they stopped the motor and said, ha, in the world you got up there. I mean, that's how funny it was. How'd you get there? I mean, the way I was facing, I mean, it was crazy. So what happens? I send my dog because it was mud. So I told my dad, call Chef. Jack, come on. She seen my dad. She took off. I said, tie the rope to her. Tie the rope to her. I said, Jack, come back here. She come back and brought the rope. I tied it to the boat. Was that the truth or not? And I was telling good boy, I had a walk in all that slob. I had a dog. And look, they tied to me. And I sat back. I didn't put the mud boat down. Whoa, whoa. I relinquished. I was not the captain anymore. The captain that day needed some other captain to help him. And I was so glad. We was up there for hours. And the only thing I had for shade was to put the blind, pop-up blind and get underneath it. I could take a nap. We was there a long time waiting because they were busy. I had to wait. But I relinquished everything. Yes. I was no more my power, and I just let them take me off. That's what the Holy Spirit wants you to do. You got to say, okay. And that's what Jesus did. When he got the Holy Spirit, you know, natural man, if the wilderness is right there and the plush, green, wonderful oasis is here, what's the natural man going to do? Don't kid yourself. Oh, I'm going to the wilderness. That's why I like wilderness. You know you ain't going to no wilderness. You're going to the palm trees, the flowing brooks, shade, the oasis, huh? Just where you going. But the Spirit led him into the wilderness. And Jesus is going, here? Yep, that's okay. It's better than I know. Because I'm going to be led by God. He knows what I need in there. So sometimes you're going through something, and you're facing something, and you don't even realize the Spirit's taking you down this path. But you got to know what's the Spirit leading you, or what you allowed yourself to get into, because you put this, you know what happened if they'd have started pulling me, and I'd have said, ah, oh, that's good. I'm halfway. I cut the rope on them. I'm telling you, Uncle Nate and Daddy would have went, okay, what you doing? I would have had to come to Jesus meeting right there on the bank, I guarantee you. They'd have said, okay, now, something wrong with you. Because you wait all this time, and now we come get you, and we get you almost. We get you almost off the land. And I cut the rope. You understand? Now, they'd have turned around. They'd have got the rope, but they'd have been wondering, is he okay? Is something wrong with him? Because why in the world, after we got you hooked up, we pulling you off where you called us to come get you off, and we got you halfway, and now you think, okay, I got, and you cut, we're going to help you again because I'm the son, the nephew, right? Uh-huh. But we wondering now. You ever thought maybe the Holy Spirit wonders about us sometime? Yes. Yes. Okay. You want me to sit down and shut up? That's what I'll do. And you go on and take the lead, guess what happens? Remember, when you take the lead, whatever happens, you had the lead. It was you. That's why we have to be led by the Spirit. That's why it's so important to realize that. And this is what Jesus, he was the master of it. If we want to learn from him, this is what he's teaching us. Now watch the Jews. The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Notice that word again. When the first time, and Jesus answered them, I showed you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you stoning me? Notice that. Now notice, what are we dealing with here? We see all these words, but you notice that the Holy Spirit is not mentioned in any of this as a third person or some. You notice that. Now, is the Holy Spirit in this scene? Absolutely. But it's not mentioned because it's not a person. Who's mentioned? The Father, which is Yahweh. And who else is involved? Jesus, the Son. But the Holy Spirit is not mentioned. Again, this is just pointing these things out. Look at verse, we'll keep reading. And the Jews answered, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy. Now they said he blasphemed. Now watch this. And because you being a man. How did they see Jesus? As a what? A man. You being a man, make yourself out to be God. So they're stoning him. Now some take this and use it in the complete opposite of the way I understand it. And they say, but you see, if they stoning him because Jesus was saying he was God. He actually said he was God. I don't see that. They said that. They said, you being a man, make yourself out to be God. Jesus never mentioned that. What he mentioned, that he said, I and the Father are one. He didn't mean one and the same. He meant we have in purpose, in our plan, And so Jesus answered, has it not been written in your laws? Now he's going to help correct them, because now he can take them back to something they studied. I said, you are gods. Notice that. See that? I said that you are gods. If he called them gods, to whom the word of God came and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said, this, Jesus is going to say what he said. I'm a quoting. Because I said, quote, I am the Son of God. Notice that. What did Jesus say he was? The Son of God. They said that you make yourself to be God. Because he said, I'm the Son of God. And so, a great point. Verse 37. And again, this is the verse, or one of the verses, again, that we're reading. When that, how many see that? John 10, 25, 32, and 37. If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. So what is he doing? What is Jesus doing? The works of who? The Father. Again, not no Holy Spirit's not mentioned here, but we know why he's doing it, because he's being led by Holy Spirit. Now, the significant thing is we see two persons, right? We have no issue. God, the person of the Father, and the person of the Son, but we're not seeing the person of Holy Spirit. We're not seeing that here. Never, it's never mentioned in here. And so, again, as we look at these verses, I wish we could take the time just to do all of them. Look at chapter 14. Chapter 14. Look at we'll look at 10, but I want to read from 7. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. So if you've known me, you've known the Father. Why is Jesus saying, because what is he empowered with? What is he using? If you use the Holy Spirit's directive, what characters will you have? Automatic, they're gimmies. You'll have the character of God, because the Holy Spirit is from God. It's the operational presence of God. It only acts like God. So a person says, well, I got the Holy Spirit, and they act in some, they might have had been, you know. So here's what people think. I possess the Holy Spirit, like you closed the door and locked the key. You locked it and threw the key away, and you know what? That's not how it operates. You don't go and say, well, I possess it. I got control. You cannot control the Holy Spirit. You cannot control it. Some people think, and that's what people do. They're so, okay, that's it. That's it. That's it. Oh, there it is. And you're trying to control. You don't control the Holy Spirit. You're led by the Holy Spirit. Remember that. You're not the one that leads it. And I've seen it. I see it happen so many times in different ways. And I'm like, man, that sure don't line up with the scripture. When a person's doing that, like, they got the control of it. That's not the way it works. And then some people say the opposite. So I can't do, the Spirit just took over. It wasn't me. And I go, okay, it sure looked like me. It sure looked like you to me. You know? Here's the thing. We was in a meeting one time, and Spirit took over. Me and Sean, there's, I don't know, 5,000 people there. At least that. Huge. And so, couple guys, Holy Spirit come on them, and they took off. And it was big. I mean, you run in that place, you run for a while. It's big, big church. So they go, I can't hardly see them, you know. I'm like, whoa. Well, they come by, and they pass it in the front. We sitting, I don't know what, there's many aisles like this, and we sitting, you know, maybe second row back, because only a row in front of us. And by then, there might be 25, 30 people scooting it. I mean, going. Holy Spirit, right? That's what everybody says. Well, we're watching this one guy, and he couldn't take it no more. He's going. And this woman, and she was not like, you know, she wasn't a trainer. I'll put it that way. Right? That's a nice way, ain't it? Yeah. It's the nicest I could come up with. She wasn't a trainer. Probably no membership. And she's following suit. And I thought, whoa. Well, it's Holy Spirit. Then all of a sudden, about the second turn, all her training skills came to play all at the same time. And her feet came out from underneath her. And son, when she hit that carpet, it was like hitting brakes. Skirt, 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 skirt. And so you got carpet burns on the elbow. I'm talking about blood to the surface immediately.
Wow. Yeah, dress up.
Half a cheek sticking out. And they couldn't cover up fast enough and hurt like for real. 2-3 people help you carry to the back, paramedics call. My point is, what when the Holy Spirit bailed out that vehicle? Yep, ain't that a great question? I want to know, what point was it? The second turn? Was it the when the motor quit running because she went in a circle like just immediately, and the one foot quit working, and blah, boom, 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 skirt, 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 and we went, whoa. My question is, if it's the Holy Spirit, right, when did he decide, you take it, you're doing good, fly? Here's my point, it never was.
Right.
And we didn't admit that. But nobody wants to be admitted, and nobody's wanting to say it. I'm saying it because somebody's got to say it. It never was, and we can't do that. It doesn't. What does it say about God? What does it say about who God the Father is? And it's just nonsense, and the nonsense has got to quit, because if we're involved in that type, you know what's going to happen when things get tough? We're not going to know what to do. We have zero training because we've been playing around this whole time. It's about getting up in the morning and having this conversation, saying, Father, I thank you. Now, if you're talking to Father, it's like, well, what should I tell the Holy Spirit? You just did.
That's it.
It's his presence. Don't try to keep adding all that up. Father, I just thank you for a great day. And I thank you for leading me. Well, you know, the Father, Yahweh, is not coming off of his throne and going to grab you by the hand, because that would be instant death to you. Right? Because no flesh can glory, no man can see the face of God and live. So he says, wonderful loving Father that he is, he says, I'm going to send my presence. It'll be with you. So when you speak, instantly, the presence is there. So you ready? Let's go. And there goes your day. And you got to be led by the Spirit constantly like that. And use it and do it all the time. As Christians, that's what we have to be doing all the time. You can't go and say, well, I hadn't done that and it's been a while. Well, you're going to pay the consequence for that. You better believe you're going to, because let me tell you, there's not a single person in this room, at any time in this room, if you hear the sound doctrine of the Scripture, that not one person can tell me, well, it's just so hard, you don't understand. I don't need to understand. If you try to explain to me, you're probably right, I don't understand. But I can tell you, there ain't a thing that you ever done in your life, there's no sin that's too big, there's no stain that God can't get out. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. That goes for you, me, or anybody else in this world. If you want to be led by the Spirit of God, you can, and you can be successful serving God. Every single person in this room, you can be successful. And anything that says other than that is a lie from the enemy. You can. I'm telling you, you can be successful. Because if you're being led by the Spirit is only successful. The Spirit never comes up on a, you know, halfway. Never happens. It's always completely, fully done every single time. That's what he does. It's absolutely incredible. And so what that does is, once you come to know Christ, it's not like, well, you just don't know what I've been through. Well, you can keep riding that. Keep riding that, what you've been through. I can tell you, when Jesus comes and does what he does in your life, and the Holy Spirit immediately is given an area to come in. Because know you not, that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Wow. That's incredible. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. So every person here, once you're saved, because the qualification to receive Holy Spirit is salvation. You cannot receive Holy Spirit without salvation. He would not guide you. Why would he guide? What happens if he's trying to guide you? You have no concept of that. But when the blood of Christ is applied, you become a follower of Christ. He's your rabbi. How many in here understand that Jesus is our rabbi? There's no, some people call me Pastor Justin. There's no pastors, not technically. There's only one pastor. That's Jesus. That's it. He's the only shepherd, the only one. And if you know you, we use those things for whatever. It doesn't make a difference to me. Title, it doesn't matter. There's one shepherd, one. That's Jesus. He's the only one. And that's something that we have to make sure that we keep in mind. All right, did I read all of that? I just probably stopped. Verse 10. Did I read 9? Did I read? No, never. Did I get to 8? Wow. I said that just reading 7. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, I have been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip. He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? So, some would argue, what Jesus is saying there is, I'm the Father. And I ask this question, can the Son be his own Father? Is that what he means here? Is it just what Jesus is saying here? Is he saying, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father? Does he say that I am the Father? What is he saying? He's being led by the Spirit in such a way that the way he acts, speaks, and interacts is just like the Father would have been doing it, because he's going to do exactly what the Father explains for him to do. So verse 10, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? See, he explains it to us. I mean, see that? That's clear. The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative. The words that I speak to you, I don't speak on my own initiative. Notice that. Now, how many start to see there's a distinction now? Because we got some clouded, I don't call it clouded scripture, but a lot of people use that. They argue that scripture, that Jesus said he's the Father. So I don't see that. I don't see where he said he's the Father. He told Philip, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. It's perfectly logical within his context, because he starts to show us the clear distinction. He said, the word that I speak, I don't speak on my own initiative. How is that? Because if Jesus, to have an initiative, you have to have your own what? Would you have to have your own what? Who wants to try it? Exactly. You cannot have your own initiative without your own will. So the question is, I'll ask the question, rhetorical, right? Does Jesus have a will? Well, in one area he said, Father, if it possible, let this cup pass from me, but not as I will, but thy will. I mean, you see, two wills. Let me ask this question. Did you ever read a single scripture where the Holy Spirit has a will? Because to have a will means you're a person. It's clear. Right? It's clear. So, this is what he says. He said, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you there, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his work. How was the Father abiding in him? How was the Father abiding in Jesus? By Holy Spirit. By Holy Spirit. Very important. Let me just throw this in what comes to my mind. Thank you, God. Appreciate that. How many's had a King James Bible? You've had one. I've studied one for nearly 30 years. Probably over 30 years, considering my upbringing. I know it's been well over 30 years. I would say most of my life, okay? How many know that in that translation, the Holy Spirit is described as Holy Ghost? Anybody's ever heard that term, seen that in the scripture? Anybody? Right? You ever wondered why only on that word for spirit, which is pneuma, would they translate it when attached to Holy Spirit as ghost? It's the only time it's done. You ever wondered why? Why would they do that? It's translated spirit every other time, but in the King James Bible, when it comes to Holy Spirit, they leave out that translation and put Holy Ghost. Something going on. Why would you not keep translating it like you did it every other time? But when it's attached to Holy Spirit, the capitals come in, and Spirit's left out, and Ghost is put. The only time it's done is in the Greek translation in the King James Bible. I believe something going on. I think in some way it's to separate, distinguish, pull it out, set it apart, set it aside as something that was an intention to use later to make it a person. So if I seen a ghost, the ghost is from, what does the ghost represent? What does it represent? The person. But the spirit is more difficult to attach it to the person. That's just some of my thinking. There's a whole study on it. We don't have time to do it. But I just want you to think about that. So did we cover 10? John 17. I told the ladies in the back I would just real quick go over these few more slides and then I'm gonna get on that other stuff. I'm gonna have to get my dictionary out and look up what real quick means. Because somehow I forgot. Chapter 17. Jesus spoke these things, verse 1. And lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Notice this conversation. Notice this conversation. This conversation involves two persons, right? The Father and the Son. Even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. You see, now remember Jesus, they stoned him because he said, I give eternal life. And he said, well, you can't give eternal life, only the Father. Only Yahweh can give eternal life. That would have been how they replied. They just said, only Yahweh can do that. Yet he's clearing it up. If people just read on. Jesus wasn't making some strange doctrine. He knew what he was talking about. Because he knew how closely connected he was to the Father. He said, even as you gave him authority. When he says, now he's speaking, and he's speaking of himself. You gave him authority. Speaking, you gave me authority. You gave him authority over all flesh. That to all whom you had given him, he may give eternal life. In verse 3, this is eternal life. Now he tells us what eternal life is. How many know there's got to be qualifications for eternal life? How many is familiar with John 3:16? How many in here is familiar? Who's not? Who's not familiar with John 3:16? Like the verse of scripture says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not. Who's ever seen that? Maybe in a football game, you see it on a poster. It's like a refrigerator verse, right? It's like every child learns that. Everybody kind of heard it before once or twice. You've been to Sunday school, somebody's quoted it. This ought to be a refrigerator verse because it talks about eternal life. How many want eternal life? Well, let me tell you this, qualifications. He said, this is Jesus' words now. This is eternal life. That they may know you. Talking about Yahweh. That they may know you, Yahweh, the only true God. That's clear, right? So do we have to know the Father, which is Yahweh? Do we have to know him in order to have eternal life? Absolutely. Because some people say something different. That they may know you, the only true God. And Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. How many see that? How many see there's a distinction there, right? How many see there's a distinction between Jesus Christ, and we say it, if we said it in the Hebrew term, Yeshua HaMashiach, our Messiah, Messiah, so Jesus Messiah, and know you, which is Yahweh, talking about the Father there. So there's two things that have to be done in order for a person to receive eternal life. You got to know the Father and Jesus Christ. So you got to know both of them. Now, can you know the Father, understand the Father without going through the Son? Now that would be breaking the rule. The rule is this: no man, or we can say no human being. Because there's not a gender restriction there when it says that. Where is that word man? Because man is it's used for all humanity there. No man can go to the Father but by me, is what Jesus said. By him. How many understand that? That's clear. So we understand there's a process in knowing and getting that. So when we come to accept Christ, then what is he going to teach us automatically? Because Christ is being led how? What is he being led by? Holy Spirit. What is he going to start teaching us immediately? What are we going to start learning? The moment we introduce to Christ, what are we going to start knowing? We're going to start being introduced to somebody. Who is that somebody? The Father. If you've known me, what he said, you've known the Father. Notice that. You see, they're all connected, interconnected. But you notice that every time I'm reading all of this, the Holy Spirit is never mentioned in none of these key verses as a third person. Is the Holy Spirit operating? Yes. We're not denying that. Here's what people say. But the moment you start talking like this, he's denying the Holy Spirit. I've never once did that. Who's ever heard me deny the Holy Spirit? And let me tell you, I'm a big component of preaching about the Holy Spirit. That's what you hear me doing now. I don't deny the Holy Spirit, but I deny what people has tried to do about with the Holy Spirit. And that's not Scripture. And so I'm very, very much in favor of Holy Spirit. But we got to understand it the way God. Listen, I grew up in church all my life. And I'm not just saying this because I'm doing this. But there was no classes like this. Not one. Not a single one that I remember ever. Well, you see, let's break it down. Let's look at it. Let's see. Let's see what we're going to do here. What do we need to learn? And that's not, I'm not saying that to be bad. Maybe it was that time. I don't know. This is not a to mark anybody in any way, in a negative way. I'm just saying you can't know it unless you're studying it. You'll never learn it unless you've shown it. Some God has got to stand up, and that's why he calls. He said, I said in the church first, the apostle, then the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, teacher, for, tell the perfecting of the saints. The perfecting. What does that mean? That means when we come to know Christ, we don't have all the answers. We're on our way, but we got to learn some things, and we got to study to show ourselves approved. We got to get involved in the work of the ministry. Why is that for? Because it edifies the body of Christ. It edifies the body of Christ. And then he goes on, talks about how long should we do it till we all. So just because you come to an understanding doesn't mean you sit home and say, well, I was probably talking about the Holy Spirit. I don't need to be, I got it. But I don't give you the right to stay home. What about your brother or sister that don't have it? It's be encouragement if you're sitting there with them, pushing them, saying, stay, hang in there. Yes. Till we all come to the unity of faith. Look, I'll sit home. If I know it, doesn't mean, so I'm here because I want to share it with you. I can stay home and I can be just as spiritually strong as if I come here and teach on Thursday night. I'm still going to be spiritually strong because I understand these concepts. But that's not what we do. We're not in this because so we can make it safe, so we can get all we can get. We're here for each other. Till we all come to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the full measure of the stature of Christ. That's what he said. That's a lot of stuff we got to get. Then he talks about why we need to have that. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. That's the warning. The warning is that we're not tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. How many know there's a lot of winds of doctrine out there? And it's cunning craftiness. But that shouldn't shock anybody. There was cunning crafting work that happened in the garden. There was a lie. A lie was introduced, and that same lie is still being believed by most Christians today. It's crazy to me. You won't die. Not really. Somehow, inside of you is an innate that you have an immortality built in you. We don't have immortality built in us. It's got to be provided. And we got to accept the provision, and we got to believe it in our heart, and then we have to follow the one who paid the price in full. We can't go before him. Can anybody go before Jesus? The Bible says he's the first. If he's the first, then the next guy's got to be second. I know how to count. And the guy after him's third. Anybody with me here? It's simple stuff. But you can't go before him. The Bible says, first, Jesus. Then, everybody comes in. But every man in his own order. That's what he says. Paul puts it out in Corinthians 15. He talks about it's an order. And so he tells us this process. How many see that stuff is just, and it's all connected? You can't have one study without touching on the other study. It just connects. Obeying the will of God. How many want to obey the will of God? John chapter 3, we're still in John, and we'll finish up here and then we'll close. John chapter 3. Again, we're dealing with the Holy Spirit, not mentioned in some of these key verses, but very much there in operation, but not as a third person. The people are mentioned. We talked about the Father, we talked about the Son, and we see the operation of Holy Spirit. And this is important to keep in mind. So this is not a study saying that the Holy Spirit's not important, not vital. It's very vital, and we should heavily be led by the Spirit of God every day. Obeying the will. John chapter 3, verse 34, says this, "For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God." Let me see that. "For he gives the Spirit without measure." So obeys the will. So when God sends Holy Spirit, does Holy Spirit do what he wants? No. He obeys the will of the one who sent him. Do you notice that? He obeys the will of the one who sent him. Because the Holy Spirit does not have its own will. It's automatic. Now look at 5. We'll read them all and then you'll see what I'm talking about. 5:30. Verse 30. Says Jesus speaking again. He says, "I can do nothing on my own initiative." Notice that. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I do not seek my own will. Again, the question is, does Jesus have his own will? Yes, he does. We never see where the Holy Spirit has his own will because it's never addressed in that way. When people say, well, what about all the pronouns that are attached to the Holy Spirit, like he, those, because the Holy Spirit being sent from God is just like wisdom is personified. How many know wisdom is personified in the scripture? Does that mean that wisdom's a person? Well, Holy Spirit's personified. Because it's personified doesn't make it a person. And that's why you see those attached there. And I could go over all each one of them, but maybe we'll do that in one of these segments. So keep that in mind on this particular reading. I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Chapter 6, verse 38. It says, again, Jesus is speaking. And he says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Again, Jesus speaking of himself, "I'm not doing my own will." Now that term, "I have come down from heaven," we could take some time to address that, and I could do it more extensively at another setting, but just for sakes of having that said, kingdom of heaven is kingdom of God. I have come down from heaven, or I have come from. Where did he come from? God. Anytime heaven is used, we think it's used always as some other place, but they're heavenly. The heavenly thing, it's attached to God. So it would be heavenly. So it would be bread from heaven. The bread from heaven. Now, did the bread literally come from heaven and fall from heaven, wherever it, you know, wherever you want to pick that to be, and trickle its way down through all the atmospheres and come into the earth's atmosphere and then find itself on the ground called manna? Who wants to try that one on? But that's not what he's talking about. But he says it's bread from heaven. Because the one who orchestrated, the one who made it all possible in heaven is attached to that when we say that's from heaven. Right? This is from God. And so that's what he's making a reference. He said, he made the reference of the bread, the manna. He said, "Your fathers ate the bread in the wilderness and died." He said, "I'm the bread from heaven." Same thing. So keep that in mind. Speaks the words of the Father. John 7:16, John 8:26, 28, 38. It just goes similar text. Similar passages, all of these passages do the same thing. And so I want you to keep this in mind. Now, we're going to start talking about the power of Holy Spirit. I'll leave that up. You can write them down. We won't cover these. We're going to close. I'm going to talk about power of Holy Spirit. And I want to keep you to keep this in mind. Every person here, remember this. Jesus is asked by a lawyer, you know, everybody understands when I use the term lawyer, right? That's a clear term. It's used in Scripture. It means the same thing. It's some learned person who studied the law. They understand the law. They know when you can do something, can't do something. And then they stand up for somebody who maybe has been done wrong. They cite the law. And that's what the law says. And therefore you call them a lawyer. And they work. So this lawyer comes to Jesus and says, "Okay, I got a question for you. What's the greatest commandment?" So he's not talking about it in some broad way. He said, "What's the greatest commandment?" "Okay, I know about commandments. I know about them commandments." He's a lawyer. He studied the law. So he said, "What's the greatest one?" So Jesus is in the spot, right? He says, "The greatest commandment is this. Thou, or you, shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and with all your strength. And the second is similar. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." That's the words. It's Jesus' answer. We're going to go with Jesus' answer right on this, right? So he said, that's the greatest commandment. Now, how in the world can you do that? It's the greatest commandment. He said, and on these, meaning the first one and the second one, on these shall all the law and the prophets hang. I mean, he distinguished them out on these. So let's go back over them again. First one, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and with all your strength. The second, similar, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And he said, on these shall all the law and the prophets hang. Right here, these two. Meaning if you work on them, everything else is going to be a gimme. It's going to fall into place because you won't break those. So he narrowed it down. Isn't that simple? Jesus did that. He kept doing that. Remember, this was his broad ideas about adultery and anger and murder. And what did Jesus do when he come? He put it all back into straight lines. He got rid of all the gray. Straight lines, yeas and nays. That's what Jesus did. So here we go. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and with all your strength. How in the world are you going to do that? How in the world are you going to do that? And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. How are you going to do that? Because everything hinges on those two. Everything. All the law and the prophets are hanging on those. How in the world are you going to do that? Without help, let me just tell you what you're going to end up. Impossible. Impossible to do it. You will not love the Lord your God with all your heart. All your heart. Because there's too many things that these eyes see, this mouth tastes, these ears hear, that are distractions that draw us away by our own lust and we're enticed. How many of you had that proven in your own life, right? So we've got to love him with all of our heart, with all of our soul. I mean, if I asked you to explain your soul to me, I'm not sure who in here can. And you're going to love him with your soul when you can't even explain your soul? All your might. What are you talking about there? With all your strength. To boot, to love thy neighbor as thyself. So what do you need to do that? Holy Spirit. That's the power of Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, you cannot love God with all your heart. How can you love a God you don't know? You don't even understand God. But how can you know how you do it? By Holy Spirit. Where's Holy Spirit come from? It's the very presence of God. Does the Spirit of God know how to love God? Love him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, with all your strength. That's why you have to be led by Holy Spirit. That's why you need to have the Holy Spirit, because it knows exactly what God wants. So what is Jesus, when he says, hey, look at his success, what he was able to do, the power that God had to constantly, he gave him authority, gave him power, he anointed him. Right? God did those things for Jesus. Why? Because he was led by Spirit constantly. And the Spirit was loving the Father, just like you and I can love the Father. And we could do the same thing. We could do the same thing if we'll realize the power of Holy Spirit in our life. So listen, don't get hung up. This is what people do. They get all hung up on whether or not they can speak in tongues. And so because they don't speak in tongues every day, they don't think they got it. They have no communication with Holy Spirit. They don't even acknowledge Holy Spirit. And so every single day they're going off of experiences that they've had when they have acknowledged Holy Spirit. And it's still got such a keeping power. It's kept many, many people alive and sustained them for a long time. And this was yesteryear's touch. You have to start on a daily basis acknowledging Holy Spirit. And saying, when you say, man, I feel the presence of God, you got to acknowledge that's God's presence. Just what you said, that's Holy Spirit. You got to associate that as the same exact thing. The more you do that, the more intimacy happens between you and Holy Spirit, and you start understanding the value of the relationship. And then you can love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. How many see that? That's what we're going to be talking about. We'll be getting into that, talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to look at all those power verses and what is referenced and the authority. And we'll look at all the explosive things Jesus did. You know, they're trying to, Jesus walked on the water. Well, I mean, only God can do that. That's what they're saying. So he had to be God. And it's just on and on. The list just goes on. I mean, my mind starts to hurt after a while. I'm going, what in the world? And so people try to explain it away. So he really didn't walk on the water. The boat was close to shore, and he was walking like on the close to shore, and he was only in about 4 inches of water when they saw him. But it appeared that he walked on water. There's all these stories out there. It's crazy. So I was like, you know, I go over this stuff sometime. I go, man, people will do anything they can just to go in opposition to God. It's crazy. And the whole time God is trying to love the world, pull them out of that, there's going to come a point that he's going to release them. He's going to turn them over, and he won't fool with them no more. And that's a dangerous spot to be in. When God releases you, that's it. What hope is there? So if you ever felt anything, I mean anything inside of you, how many's ever had, you've been attacked and you've been, you seem like you go good for a while and you go and you get all wrapped up in it again and you go good for a while, but there's always something on the inside of you still drawing you? That's because God loves you. That's why he's doing that. If you don't have, when you get to I don't care and you never want to go to church, never want to serve God, that's, you're in trouble then. But that little bit, all it takes is that little bit, I want him. And I don't even know why. My mind's all crazy, but I do want him. That's God. That's the Holy Spirit drawing. No man can go to the Father unless he draws them by his Spirit. And that's the Holy Spirit. So he sends Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit's just pulling on people. Come on, come. Don't go down that road. You're going to die. And there's no hope for you. If you die outside of God, there's no hope. But you come. Just come. Come. I know I'm broken. I got all this stuff. Don't worry about all that. We get rid of that. We got some good stuff for that. It's called the blood of Jesus. Man, you rub that blood on it. Whoop. Though your sins be as scarlet, it shall be made white as snow. That's the goodness of God. So don't listen. Don't let the devil lie to you. I don't care what you've been through, what you've been involved in. I don't know how many times you failed. You can say, I failed 1,000 times. That's okay. I got something for that. But you got to be led by the Spirit. You got to yield to the Spirit. Start doing that every day. First thing you do, make it a good habit. First thing you do every morning, yield to the Spirit. And the battle's going to start. I'm not going to kid you. The moment you yield to the Spirit, the war is going to start. And it's going to be like, wow. And it's going to be pulling like you're being pulled. You know, the world just pulling on you. And your old man's pulling on you. And the Holy Spirit's gone. Pulling. And the more you yield to the Holy Spirit, you say, well, does my yield work? You got to hit your yield button every now and then and see if it lights up. Huh? You remember the last time you yielded to the things of the world? It worked fine. That same yield button got to go yield to the things of God. It's the same yield. It's the same yield. Ain't a different. You're not getting a different yield button. It's the one you want. The one you want. And that's what Jesus did. He got up and he yielded to the Spirit. Every day he yielded to the Spirit. He yielded to the Spirit. He yielded to the Spirit. So much he yielded to the Spirit. He told, hey, Philip, if you see me, you see the Father. I'm acting just like him. Just like him. If you want to know how the Father acts, I'm acting like him. I'm saying what he says, doing what he does. I'm being just like him. That's pretty powerful. I can tell you in my life, if you looked at my life and studied my life, there's many times in my life that I didn't act like the Father acted. Was that because God kind of left me out there hanging? No. My yield button works, but I yield to the other person. And I don't want to do that. How many want to start yielding to the Holy Spirit and being led by the Holy Spirit? So we're going to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. That's going to start in our next study. We're going to change the slides and everything. So this one will be wrapped up. Okay? Well, God bless you. I love you. Thank God for you. We're going to continue studying on the things of the Holy Spirit. We're going to show you about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. In the Power of the Holy Spirit series, we're going to talk about the gifts, operation in the gifts, speaking in tongues, that whole thing. We're going to cover all that. All right? God bless you. We love you. You're dismissed.